The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the June issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we have on the cover Nigel Houston. Tell us how he lands a kickflip. Also, we have in the front cover, it's the secrets of sports issue. Down in the left-hand corner, the secrets of coveted skills, sports spies, team logos. As we're going to go to page one, we have a picture of the secrets of sports issue. Nigel Houston, we'll be talking about him and how reveals he pulls off a kickflip, just one of the many mysteries we delve into. On page 31, as the WNBA turns 25, we pick its fiercest five. Page 20, it's all about timing. What if athletes had played in their ideal eras? Page 22, the NHL is expanding. Here are the five cities that should be next up. Page 40. Page 42, the factors that making trade cards valuable and fun to collect. Page 48, unheralded Joel Ayayi was Mighty Gonzaga's most pivotal player. Then the favorites we have on page 2, freeze frame. Page 7, sports cards. The treehouse on page 9, hot take on page 12. Birthdays on page 14, posters, page 27. What's the call? Page 52. Games on page 53. Art gallery, page 54. Buzz Beamer, page 56. So let's go on to page 2 at freeze frame. We have pictures here of basketball players all over the court. March 13th, 2020, Washington, D.C., on the move. How much effort goes into a triple-double? We followed Russell Westbrook through the Wizards game against the Bucks. The point guard covered 2.83 miles, including 1.61 on offense, at an average speed of 3.97 miles per hour. Westbrook scored 42 points and had 10 rebounds and 12 assists in just under 40 minutes of play. But the Bucks came out on top, 125 to 115. Keep hustling, Russell Westbrook. Then, on page 4, it's a dirty job, and we have, look like we have some maybe Indy cars on the racetrack here. March 29th, 2020, Bristol, Tennessee. Before the current era of giant tracks, stock car races were largely held on small dirt ovals. Old school met new school when NASCAR transformed the 0.533 mile Bristol Motor Speedway by dumping 23,000 cubic yards of earth on it for the circuit's first race on dirt since 1970. After an afternoon of sliding through mud, Joey Logano, number 22, took the checkered flag. Good job, Joey Logano. Now we'll move on to page 8, Who's Who in Sports, and we'll do the top line, top of the page. Jalen Suggs, Gonzaga Bulldogs, guard. Jalen's height is 6'4". His weight is 205 pounds. He was born June 3rd, 2001, in his hometown, West St. Paul, Minnesota. As a freshman at Gonzaga, Suggs led the Bulldog to a perfect regular season and a trip to the Final Four, averaging 14.4 points, 5.3 rebounds, and a 4.5 assist per game. In the national semifinals, he banked in a 40-foot three-pointer at the buzzer to send the Zags past UCLA. Did you know Gonzaga's bid for a perfect season was foiled by Baylor in the national title game? The last men's team to go undefeated was Indiana in 1976, 45 years ago. Jalen Howell, Florida State Seminoles, midfielder. Jalen's height is 5'8". She was born November 21st, 1999, in her hometown was Lone Tree, Colorado. As a sophomore, Howell was named ACC Midfielder of the Year as the Noles had a perfect 11-0 record. She was called up to the USWNT for a for a friendly in 2017 when she was just 17, and she earned her first cap last November against the Netherlands. Did you know Jalen's father, John, was a defensive back who played six seasons in the NFL and was a member of the Buccaneers team that won the Super Bowl number 37? And finally, we have Kirill Kaprizov, the Minnesota Wild Wings, left wing. His height is 5'9". His weight is 185 pounds. He was born April 26, 1997, hometown Novosibirsk, Russia. On January 14, 2021, Kaprizov made a memorable NHL debut with 3 points, including the game-winning goal in overtime against the Kings. Through 38 games, he had 16 goals and 18 assists for 34 points, all tops among NHL rookies. Kaprizov scored the game-winning goal in 2018 Olympics as Russia beat Germany in the gold medal game. Did you know the only player in Wild history to make the NHL All-Rookie team was defenseman Jonas Brodin in 2013? SI Kids Treehouse number 8, Secret Weapon. So we have a picture there in the woods here, and you hear somebody ask, what are they up to over there? Whitney builds her own treehouse. The next logical step is a competing magazine, and now this ramp, which will definitely be used to launch something at us. Looks like a regular quarter pipe to me. Transporter prototype, eh? She always was into experimental technology. Liz, pedal over there. Lie and say you're not happy working for me. Then when you figured out what they're up to, report back. Sure thing, boss. She's on her way. Tune in for SI Kids Treehouse number 9 next month. Well, moving on. Liz, you made it. Welcome to Camp SI Kids. Shows the cam, shows the nice treehouse. Wow, this is awesome. Not making a competing magazine. But what about the ramp you were building to launch things at us? Oh, we're kids. Want to work all summer. We figured everyone needed a break. You mean the ramp you were building to shred? Whitney, I always wanted to learn to skate, but never had I thought the tree, what, free at Buzz Assistant? Maybe our skate instructor, Olympian Nigel Houston, can give you some pointers. Oh, well, click, 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 click. You're a natural. This place is a dream come true. What's wrong? It's just you've been so nice and I'm having so much fun, but I'm a spy. Duh. You knew? I do. I'm having so much fun. Can I really stay? I know, Buzz. But I figured once you had fun with us, you'd want to stay on this side for the lake for a while. Liz, come back. Stop playing around. We're behind on this issue. She doesn't want to go back to work. It's summer, Buzz, and no one deserves a vacation more than Liz. But out of this, Whitney. Flip. Rip. Oh, no. I can never get that trick. Should we invite Buzz to camp? Sure. After we let him drift for an hour. I think he nailed it. Liz, where's the motor on this thing? Liz! Oh. Moving on to page 12, warm-up. Hot take. Stop throwing so hard. Reds prospect Hunter Green, returning from a season missed due to Tommy John surgery, made a statement in his first spring training game this March. His opening pitch clocked in at 101 miles per hour. His second hit 102. His third, you guessed it, 103. No, he did not gradually ramp up to 200 on his 100th pitch of the game. Fans cheered Green's rebirth, but were they really cheering for the demise of their favorite sport? Most people in the bleachers can't tell the difference between a 90 and 100-mile-an-hour fastball, yet the difference between the two is responsible for nearly every problem with baseball. Major League pitchers are throwing harder than ever before. In 2020, 13.1% of all pitches were at least 95 miles per hour versus just 8.4 pitches in 2010. That trend has led to another, a steady increase in strikeouts. If this keeps up, soon one out of every four plate appearances could end in a punch-out. A single strikeout can be exciting. Non-stop strikeouts reduce the sport of 10 players on a 2.5-acre field to a 60-foot game of catch. The decline in contact hitting has corresponded with an increase in home runs. While this explosion in dingers has staved off a total collapse in scoring, it has only worsened the problem of bored fielders. Last year, only 64% of plate appearances ended up with the ball even being put in play, much less falling in for a hit. This ramped-up velocity isn't just bad for fans and slow-swinging hitters. The vast majority of Major League Baseball games feature at least one pitcher who, like Green, has recovered from Tommy John surgery. While it didn't establish a link between velocity and injuries, one 2016 study showed that throwing more fastballs increases the risk of elbow tears. Granted, lighting up the radar gun isn't a new phenomenon. Nolan Ryan did it in four prior decades. But it used to be a freak skill, like folding your tongue or burping the alphabet. Now, throwing the upper 90s is as much a requirement for being a major league pitcher as wearing a hat. Not only has this evolution made the game duller by emphasizing the three true outcomes, home run, strikeout, and walk, it has kept a more entertaining species of pitcher, the junk baller, from taking the mound. Mets ace Jacob DeGrom, a back-to-back Cy Young Award winner, averaged 99 miles per hour on his fastball in 2020. Greg Maddux had won four straight Cy Youngs in the 90s, boasted a fastball that barely touched 93 and didn't even get close to 90 by the end of his career. Maddux was infamous for his ability to mix pitches, hit specific locations, and outthink hitters. In one oft-repeated tale, he purposely gave up a home run to Astro slugger Jeff Bagwell on an inside fastball in an unimportant regular season game, just so Bagwell would be off balance sitting on that same pitch in the playoffs. Maddux is emblematic of a bygone hurler who relied on guile rather than overwhelming physical ability. Zach Greinke, who throws in the mid-80s and occasionally uncorks a 50-mile-an-hour EFAS pitch, is a worthy successor to Maddux. But it's hard to imagine Jamie Moyer, who pitched into his late 40s throwing a fastball in the low 80s, even getting a chance in today's Major League Baseball. That's too bad. The underdog who has honed his craft is sometimes more fun to cheer for than the player who just overpowers hopeless opponents. In the long run, more soft tosses is better for the power pitchers, too. Just as darkness is the absence of light, gas is the absence of junk. In a world in which everyone throws 95, is just not that cool. Of course, I've convinced you of my rightness on this issue. But now you're asking me, Kip, what's the solution? How do we tell pitchers to throw softer? Isn't that like asking Steph Curry to not hit so many threes or Tyreek Hill not to run so fast? I could agitate for a rule change under which a 100-plus miles per hour pitch can count as a strike, but not a third strike, like a foul ball, or maybe teams should have allotments of 40 fastballs that they can use each game. Alas, the suits in the commissioner's office have been unresponsive to my emails about radical rule changes in the past, and I don't expect that to change now. Like all revolutions, we must focus on the next generation. The olds are too set in their ways. Tell your coach you want to mix in a few EFAS pitches. Try the palm ball or the Vulcan change. Let's shoot for a future in which there is a knuckleball pitcher on every Major League Baseball team, not just one every other generation, like a passing comet. I know I'm asking a lot, so I'll go first. I will stop throwing in the low to mid-90s on the SI Kids Company baseball team. Editor's note, he doesn't. I could probably throw even harder, editor's note. He can't. But when I make the major leagues, editor's note, he won't. I will set an example by pitching like Greg Maddux, but with better control. Art Attack. As one of the world's top competitive Rubik's Cube solvers, Giovanni Contardi started to get a little bored. You get to a point where you practice months and months just to gain 1/10 of a second, says Contardi, who can solve a cube in around 7 seconds. So he found another way to channel his cube energy, creating art. The 26-year-old native of Italy has created several mosaics and portraits, including LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. When he was a speed cuber, Gio says he was like Bryant, practicing 3-4 hours a day, trying to master every single move. He uses a program on his iPad to map out the picture pixel by pixel, which takes at least a week. Then he twists around 800 cubes and puts them together for the final product, a process that takes a few days. To Gio, who has 310,000 Instagram followers and sells pieces of his website, it's not cube art, it's just art. I didn't want it to be like, oh, it's cool because it's made with Rubik's Cube cubes, he says. Of course, that's part of it, but I want the design to be appealing, to be something that people would want in their home. Let's go on to birthdays. May 23rd, L.A. Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald turns 30. May 29th, Man U striker Tobin Heath celebrates her 33rd birthday. Moving on to page 15, The Grid. Running back Nick Chubb, skateboarder Nyjah Houston, and wide receiver Devontae Smith. First question, what job would you want if you weren't an athlete? Nick Chubb says, computer engineer. Nyjah Houston says, army sniper. Devontae Smith says, something with cars. Who is your favorite actor or actress? Running back Nick Chubb says, Will Smith. Skateboarder Nyjah Houston says, Leonardo DiCaprio. And Devontae Smith says, Mike Epps. Next question. If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why? Nick Chubb said he'd clone himself. Nyjah Houston says, invincibility. And Devontae Smith says, well, teleport, because I wouldn't have to drive anywhere. Who is the funniest athlete you know? Nick Chubb said, Jonathan Allen. Nyjah Houston said, Daniel Ricciardo. And Devontae Smith says, Jerry Jeudy. Next question, who's the toughest opponent you've ever faced? Nick Chubb says, I don't like giving guys too much credit. Jonathan Allen. Nyjah Houston says, Yuto Horigomi. And Devontae Smith says, Noah Igbenonhi. Who was your favorite athlete growing up? Nick Chubb says, Adrian Peterson. Nyjah Houston says, Paul Rodriguez. And Devontae Smith says, Aaron Brooks. And finally, what's your favorite season of the year? Nick Chubb, winter. Nyjah Houston, spring. I like the mix of sun and rain, good weather for riding dirt bikes. And Devontae Smith says, winter. Moving on to page 16. Still in warm-up, future stars, Mahalalia Reeves. Her birthplace is Lake Butler, Florida. Her birthday is October 28, 2003. Sport, weightlifting. When she saw her older sister's weightlift, Mahalia wanted in. She approached their high school coach, Brian Griffiths, and squatted 135 on her first day of training as a fifth grader. Her feats of strength grew, first with a 355-pound bench press that accumulated more than 2.6 million views on social media in 2019, then a state record 370-pound bench press, and now with her third consecutive state title in February, I'm still in shock at the weights I do, says Mahalia. There's no word to describe it. It's that amazing. Are you a sports kid? If you think you have what it takes to be a sports kid of the month, haven't adults, submit your nomination at sportskids@si.com. Oceana and Nina Dahlbred, page 17, want to save sharks. I used to be scared, but then I learned the facts. Nina Dahlbred, actress and ocean advocate. Sharks keep the oceans healthy and aren't really interested in us. It's actually our interest in their fins that's scary. Millions of sharks end up in the global fin trade every year. Visit oceana.org/save sharks to see more from Nina and learn how you can help protect these vital ocean animals. Warm-up, page 18, continued. Go figure. Birth records. When John Quincy Adams was elected president in 1824, he and Dad John Adams became the first father-son duo ever to both ascend to the United States' highest office. Boring. Name recognition makes it easier to win an election. In sports, that kind of fame just adds more pressure to perform. These athletic parents and children who achieved the same or similar feats had to do things much more impressive than becoming president, like hitting for the cycle. The Biggs boy, When Kevin Biggio hit for the cycle as a rookie in 2019, he and his Hall of Fame dad, Craig, became the second father-son pair to achieve the feat after Gary and Darryl Ward. There's even a grandfather-grandson cycle duo, Gus Bell, 1951, and David Bell, 2004. Golden Child. American gymnast Nastya Liukin is the child of two former Soviet world champions in the sport, but only dad, Valery, and daughter both won Olympic gold. He in 1988 in Seoul and Nastya in 2008 to the delight of her coach, dad. Chasing dad. NASCAR seemed to have more legacy athletes than other sports, but surprisingly few true dynasties. When Chase Elliott won the Cup Series in 2020, he and his dad, Bill, became the third intergenerational champs after Lee and Richard Petty and Ned and Dale Jarrett. Splash Brothers. Dell Curry led the NBA in three-point percentage in 1998 and 1999 when he made 69 trays on 145 attempts, 47.6%. His son Seth, above left, and Steph Inset and above center, have actually never led the league in that stat, but they're not bad at hitting from deep. Dada's no-no. Vanderbilt sophomore Jack Leiter threw a no-hitter this year against South Carolina. His dad, Al, threw the first no-no in Florida Marlins history in 1996. Jack had more strikeouts, 16 to dad's 6, but Al needed 21 fewer pitches to finish the job. Heir apparent. Cecil Fielder hit 51 homers in 1990. His breakout season, Prince, who was 6 when his dad set that career high, hit exactly 50 in 2007, making them the first father and son duo to both reach the milestone. They retired with the same number of homers, 319. 2. Family Feud. Parents don't get more famous than Muhammad Ali. Layla Ali didn't let that pressure get to her, going undefeated in 24 career matches and holding multiple titles. She also beat Jaquel Frazier-Lyde, daughter of dad's rival, Joe Frazier. Wow. First Family. Drafted second overall in the inaugural WNBA, Pamela McGee above right had two kids follow her in Euro steps. Son Javali went in the first round of the 2008 NBA draft to the Wizards. The Sky picked daughter Imani 10th in 2016. As the WNBA begins its 25th season, we pick our all-time best lineup from a quarter century of great basketball. The Fierce Five. Guard. Diana Taurasi, after a stellar career at UConn where she led the Huskies to 3 NCAA titles and was twice the winner of the Naismith Award, Taurasi came into the WNBA in 2004 facing huge expectations. Somehow she surpassed them. Still going strong, the Phoenix Mercury mainstay is the league's all-time leading scorer and has been first or second team All-WNBA an amazing 14 times. Center, Lisa Leslie. In Leslie's 12th and final season with the Los Angeles Sparks, she averaged 15.4 points at a career-high 51.8% field goal percentage. That's what separates smooth, her coach Michael Cooper said of her. She is never satisfied with what she did last year. True, but no one would have blamed her if she had been satisfied with the career that saw her win 3 MVP awards. Forward, Cheryl Swoopes. The WNBA certainly picked a winner for its first player. After a successful career at Texas Tech and the introduction of her signature shoe by Nike, the Air Swoops, the sharpshooter signed on with the league in 1996 and teamed with Cooper to help the Comets win 4 titles. In 2005, she became the league's first 3-time MVP, the same year she logged the first triple-double in postseason history. Guard, Cynthia Cooper. The first 4 seasons of the WNBA from 1997 to 2000 had a familiar feel. The Houston Comets won the title every year, and Cynthia Cooper was the finals MVP. Cooper also led the league in scoring in the first 3 of those campaigns, and she did all of that despite the fact that she was a WNBA rookie at the age of 34. After the 3rd title, one opposing coach dubbed her the Michael Jordan of this league. And forward, Maya Moore, another UConn product. Moore got off to a fast start, becoming the second player to win a title and Rookie of the Year in the same season. She has since added 3 more championships, 6 All-Star appearances, and a scoring title. Moore isn't just an example of a great player. She also exemplifies the WNBA's commitment to activism. In 2019, she put her career on hold to fight for criminal justice reform. The top WNBA moments. Number one, Cambridge for the Ages. On July 17, 2018, Liz Cambage of the Dallas Wings set the league record for points in a game with 53, and she did it with ruthless efficiency. She took only 22 shots. Jam time. Lisa Leslie made history in 2002 when she became the first WNBA player to dunk in a game. She had been waiting a long time for the moment. She first dunked as a high school sophomore. Finally, number three, Masked Marvel. After breaking her nose in Game 4 of the 2018 semifinals, the Seattle Storm Sue Bird returned in the decisive fifth game with a mask. It didn't slow her down one bit. She scored 14 points in the fourth quarter to spark a comeback win. For today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to North Carolina Reading Service.
The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. For more information about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org. You can also give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. The North Carolina Reading Service. We breathe words into your life.